An Auckland doctor of Cook Island heritage shared in a recent interview of his concern at the very low number of Pacifica doctors in New Zealand, which is currently around 2%, and that the failure for many Pacifica students to complete or pass a six-year medical degree was mainly due to financial pressures and lack of mentoring. As a result, Dr. John Dunn and his wife Rose took the incredible step of donating $1 million to the University of Auckland School of Medicine Foundation. The $1 million John and Rose Dunn Pacifica Fund will help with course fees and accommodation costs for Pacifica students. With that, it is a very warm welcome. Kia ora, Dr. John, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Kia ora, Brian. Thank you for having me on the show. It's very kind of you.
Now, John, firstly, can we talk about your Cook Island heritage? Can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, sure. It's a bit of a typical Pacific story in that my great-great-grandmother actually migrated from the Cook Islands to New Zealand. And so, to be honest, I've grown up more in a Papa or Palangi world. But I'm very proud of my Cook Island heritage, and my genealogy has been accepted in the Cook Islands. So myself and my four children are all Cook Islanders. And as a consequence of that, I've got more involved at Rarotonga Hospital, operating there once a year over the last 15 years with the excellent local surgeons and nurses and doctors, and introducing some equipment and some new techniques, which has been a rich experience for me.
And before we get on to the $1 million generous donation, John, I understand also, correct me if I'm wrong, your wife, you and your wife, the lovely Rose, you also have a resort on the Rarotonga, which the funds also help in philanthropic endeavours for the local community there?
Yeah, that's a bit of a story too. I think we were looking for a house actually to spend some more time in Rarotonga as we get older, and we kind of accidentally bought a resort, Brian. But it's a lovely property, and we're just in the process of doing it up, and once we get it more profitable, that's the intention, to direct the profits back towards philanthropic causes on the island. Our interests are obviously health, but also education and the arts. My wife Rose especially is a great supporter of Pacifica artists through a patrons group she set up called Whetū Tai, which supports Tautai here in New Zealand, and it's a Pacifica Arts Trust.
Now, with regards to the $1 million donation, John, how will that be used or distributed?
Yeah, well, it's not really distributed, Brian. The money is given to the university, and the University Foundation invests it, and they do very wisely. They have a lot of money, which has all come through donations. And a lot of it is specifically targeted, such as this endowment. So the endowment is set up, and the earnings of that money, or the interest, or the investment returns, will be used to subsidise tutoring fees and accommodation, as you've outlined. And that's very much at the discretion of the Dean of the Medical School and Health Sciences, my good friend Professor John Fraser, who was the one who suggested this project initially, having identified this very real problem with Pacifica students not doing well.
John, how did you come to this amount? And I'm sure discussions with Rose and the family, and what prompted it?
Well, I think the amount had to be significant so that it was going to do some good. And I guess, to be honest, pluck a round number out of the air. And yeah, it's not easy. I don't have a lazy million sitting around, but I think we discussed it with my family. I've got four adult children who are all immediately supportive. And just talking to John Fraser, it's a practical figure. It's something which will do some good. And I think that philanthropy does need reasonably grand gestures to make a big impact. I'm a surgeon, and I tend to see problems pretty simply and attack them aggressively. And I think there's a problem here, so let's do something about it that's going to make a difference.
Have you ever stopped to think since then, since the announcement, of just the impact and for yourself? Because, as you said, it's not like you find $1 million just lying around anywhere willy nilly.
Hell yes, I've certainly thought about it and spent a few sleepless nights. But the practice of medicine's been good to me, and I've had a very successful surgical practice for a long time. So it's just time to give something back, Brian, I guess.
In terms of the announcement of the endowment, what has been some of the reaction that you've received thus far, John?
Oh, it's really heartwarming, actually. I've got to say, we're a bit embarrassed to make an announcement, but the university was keen on that, and I agree with them because there is a true exemplar effect. You know, in other words, if someone sees John and Rose giving some money, then somewhere in their subconscious, they're hopefully going to think, well, they could do the same. And in my work with the School of Medicine Foundation Trust, which I've been on for 15 years, I've seen that effect, that exemplar effect. And to be honest, I've been influenced by many of my good friends who are extremely generous, giving to various causes. So that's why we've kind of made it public. I don't relish the attention, but I think hopefully it'll do some good. And the response has been marvellous. You know, nothing negative or nothing that I've heard. Even patients I've been seeing this week have commented, which is really nice. And you can see them thinking, and my colleagues and staff, etc. So it's all positive. And although, you know, it kind of hurts to give away a big chunk of money, you certainly get something back for it, which is, you know, not the intention, but it's very heartwarming.
Heartwarming, and who knows how many more duns will come out of the pipe works there to make contact with you, John. John, can you give us an overview? Because you've talked on your medical practice or the work that you do in Rarotonga. Can you give us an overview of your career and why you chose medicine as your profession?
I probably chose medicine through a lack of imagination because my father was a doctor and it's kind of all I knew. But having said that, it's all I really wanted to do. And more than that, all I really wanted to do within medicine was surgery. Surgeons tend to be like that. They tend to make up their minds early on to do surgery. My brother's a doctor. My eldest daughter is an anaesthetist as well, a doctor. My cousin's a doctor. So it's kind of in our family. But I love the practice of surgery, and it's very important work. I've trained in Auckland and spent a couple of years in South Africa, actually doing a lot of trauma surgery and liver surgery, and that's when the laparoscopic surgical thing really broke on the world in the early 90s. So I brought those techniques back to New Zealand and subsequently up to Rarotonga, I've kind of enjoyed innovation that makes a difference, especially less invasive procedures, which are very suitable in the islands because very, very major and invasive surgery is not appropriate, say, in the setting of Rarotonga Hospital, where you don't have an intensive care unit, et cetera. And we've been doing, for example, new obesity procedures, which are done entirely through the mouth. It's quite new in the world. There's only been about 6,000 procedures done in the world, and we've done 60 of them, 10 of them or 11 of them up in Rarotonga in the last couple of months. Which leads to another topic, Brian, which is the health of Pacifica, which is one of my main motivations in making this endowment, because Pacifica are not doing well in terms of life expectancy and disease, and I think the solution really has to come from Pacifica doctors. So that's why it's so vital we get more doctors who understand the culture and can identify with their patients.
John, when we talk on this area of diabetes and, of course, NCDs and how highly we as Pacifica rank in terms of these conditions, what's your general, advice to our Pacific community in this area?
Well, again, if you can forgive me for being blunt, because we've just got a few minutes to chat on the radio, but the big problem with Pacific health is obesity, and it leads to diabetes, it leads to hypertension, it leads to snoring and sleep apnea and sudden death. It's associated with 13 different cancers. It leads to polycystic ovary syndrome and infertility, and on the list goes. And if you look at the rates in New Zealand for adults, 30% of New Zealand adults are obese. For Maori, the figure is 50%. For Pacifica, it's two-thirds. So most Pacifica adults are obese, and I think a lot of them don't even realise it because obesity has been normalised. But it's, you know, it's not rocket science. Pacifica just eat too much. And the food culture, which is part of love and hospitality and generosity, it's just excessive. And Pacifica are killing each other with kindness, essentially. There needs to be a culture change. You know, surgery is not the solution to that. It's a culture change. And again, that has to come from Pacifica leaders, from the churches, from the families, and especially Pacifica doctors, to just stop this overeating culture, which is destroying the society from within.
And finally, John, words of encouragement for those tuning in this morning around the pursuing of dreams. You know, talking with you, it's evident that you've pursued a pathway in life over a number of years, which has brought you a measure of success. But whether it be, you know, as a doctor, lawyer, as an architect, business owner, etc., what would be the words of encouragement for our listeners this morning?
Well, again, it might be a countercultural message in that you have to actually put yourself first sometimes, and that doesn't come naturally in Pacific culture, I know. It's one of the problems these kids face in university. It's not just the money thing, it's the time thing. And there's a hell of a commitment in getting a medical degree. The work content is so huge, and quite often these young men and women are the first of the family to go to university, and the family does not have a good concept of just how hard it is, how much time they need. They can't be distracted by other things. They can't disappear for 3 days for a funeral or get dragged back to the islands for an event or whatever. They have to commit their time and put themselves first, which is a difficult thing for them to do culturally. So if parents are listening to this, and hopefully they are, if your child is wanting to go to university and want to extend, whether it's in architecture or art or medicine or law or whatever, please put everything behind them, your resources, and allow them time to get on with their studies and advance themselves. It's the only way it's going to work to kind of celebrate the culture of the individual rather than the culture of the whole family and community. Bit of a countercultural message, Brian.
No, but the sowing of the seed, which eventually reaping a harvest, not for the not just for the one, but for the village, as it were, metaphorically. Dr. John Dunn, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you this morning. Me taki ma'ata. We very much appreciate your time, and bless you. Bless you. Bless Rosa for your generosity, and all the very best for your future endeavours. Take care.
Me taki ma'ata, ara wanui.